This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
President Trump is turning the heat up on Brussels when it comes to trade discussion. He set on taking down some trade barriers to so-called chlorine chicken, GMO crops, and other U.S. products that do not fit into the EU's strict food safety standards. The two sides are still stuck on agriculture, which is not helping the talks that have struggled to get off the ground since 2018. Each side has been taking up the potential of a deal ahead in the coming weeks or months. EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan has said recently he's aiming for a mini-agreement as soon as March 18th. U.S. officials have long been unhappy with the EU policy that tightly controls agriculture tools like pesticides. Hogan notes that U.S. rules currently block sales of European apples and pears, so there is an opening for regulatory trade-offs on both sides of the Atlantic. Politico says the U.S. is an agricultural powerhouse that has seen its share of the EU market shrink steadily for decades. The trade deficit with Europe topped $2 billion back in 1989 and has evolved into a $15 billion deficit in 2019. The deadline to get involved in the Conservation Reserve Program is today. Agricultural producers and private landowners need to make an offer of acres or schedule an appointment to do so with their local USDA service center by this afternoon. The sign-up first opened in December and is available to producers and private landowners who are either offering acres for the first time or re-offering their acres for another 10 to 15-year term in the Farm Service Agency's conservation program. Quote, call your FSA county office today to make an appointment to sign up for the Conservation Reserve Program, says FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce. As long as you have an appointment scheduled, your CRP offer will be able to be complete in this general sign-up, even if your appointment is in the first couple weeks of March. This is the first opportunity for general sign-up since 2016, and we want to make sure interested producers and landowners take advantage of the popular conservation program, which is celebrating 35 years here in 2020. Farmers and ranchers who enroll land in CRP receive yearly rental payments for voluntarily establishing a long-term, resource-conserving plant species, such as an approved grass or tree, which are called covers. CRP currently has about 22 million acres enrolled, but the fiscal cap for 2020 is now 24.5 million acres. Farmers and landowners also have until March 16th to make two other important risk management decisions. As Todd Gleason reports, depending on which federal safety net program coverage is used, there may be a secondary crop insurance option. Todd Gleason has more.
Those farms enrolled in PLC, the price loss coverage option, are open to SCO, or supplemental coverage option, under the crop insurance plans. If PLC, then SCO. Wheat producers are likely familiar with SCO. It's been around for a while. However, corn and soybean producers have not generally had the option to sign up for SCO, says Doug Yoder from Country Financial, because they have mostly used the Ark County Farm Safety Net.
This is extra crop insurance coverage. Crop insurance users can consider adding on top of their farm level coverage. It was first made available in the 2014 Farm Bill, and it's been reauthorized in the 2018 Farm Bill, and it's only available to those farms that select PLC starting in 2020 and beyond. Now, even though it's tied to your Farm Bill selection with FSA, it's still extra crop insurance, so you would buy it from your crop insurance agent if you do want it.
Well, SCO is county-level coverage and begins to make payments when county yields or revenue are 14% less than average.
Since this is county-based crop insurance coverage, it's going to operate very similarly to what we call Agris Protection, ARP, what used to be known as GRIP as far as county-based crop insurance use. However, there is no protection level or multiplier such as county-level policies do have. It's available for all counties in Illinois for corn, beans, and wheat, and it simply matches what you purchase. For example, if you buy revenue protection like most Illinois farmers do, that's farm-level revenue protection. If you add SCO on top of that, you'd be getting extra county-level revenue coverage. kicks in at 86%, as I mentioned, matches your underlying protection, and it simply goes down to your level of protection.
Meaning those buying 85% crop insurance could buy 1% more coverage at the county level via SCO. If the underlying policy is 75%, then there would be an 11% SCO addendum to the policy. There is an expensive caveat here. Farmers signed up for ARC are not eligible for SCO coverage. What that means is pretty simple. Don't take SCO crop insurance on ARC farms. That is actually possible, and if it does happen, USDA will cancel the SCO plan and charge the farmer 60% of the original SCO premium. I'm Todd Gleason.
In other ag news here on your Friday morning, the Environmental Protection Agency is backing down on its extensive use of blending exemptions for small oil refineries. A Reuters report says the decision comes after last month's 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that vacated three existing waivers and set stricter requirements for exempting refineries from their obligations under the Renewable Fuel Standard. It's been well documented that the EPA drastically ramped up its use of refinery waivers under President Trump. That sparked a fierce backlash from farmers who have largely supported the president despite policies like trade tariffs that have hit the U.S. agricultural sector hard. The White House has been struggling to find a compromise between oil and agriculture, two of the bigger pieces of the Trump's political base, as he looks toward possible re-election this year. The court decision from January found that only small refineries that had maintained blending exemptions continuously since 2011 were eligible to apply for extended waivers. Oil and biofuel industry estimates say that could preclude all but three oil refineries from obtaining exemptions. The EPA is currently reviewing 23 petitions for blending waivers, and most are expected to be rejected. Fertilizers are important for the nutrients they provide in the production of crops. However, their price has been more volatile in the last 6 years than ever before. From 1960 through 2002, both fertilizer and crop price received by farmers increased in tandem at a fairly modest rate. Between 2002 and 2008, annual fertilizer prices paid by farmers increased rapidly, generally at a much faster rate than the prices farmers were paid for their crops. Fertilizer prices also became more volatile over those 6 years. Fertilizer price increases through 2008 were largely driven by higher energy prices and the record cost of natural gas, which is a basic input in producing nitrogen. In response to record fertilizer prices in 2008, farmers reduced their use of fertilizers, contributing to a decline of 18% in fertilizer price through 2010. Fertilizer prices recovered, though, in 2012, driven by strong domestic demand for plant nutrients due to higher crop price, before declining afterward. Since June of 2017, fertilizer prices and crop prices have received both trended upwards. The Drug Enforcement Agency says it won't require all labs testing the THC levels of U.S. hemp to be certified by the agency during the 2020 crop year. Politico says that offers producers a bit more flexibility because it will alleviate potential bottlenecks at the more limited number of labs that have been certified. Greg Ibaugh, the Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, first announced the change during the remarks that he gave at the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. The department is also planning to give states more options for disposing of hot hemp, which are plants with THC levels of above 0.3%, which is the legal threshold. When the department first released its initial regulatory framework for hemp production, farmers and state regulators pointed out that some states don't have a single lab certified by the DEA, such as Alabama. That would greatly slow down testing, which is required to happen during a 15-day window before harvest. Delays would eventually threaten the market viability of the crop. Moving on now into Midwestern ag news, the Timken Company, which is commonly known for making roller bearings and sealed bearings, is planning to move their auger production to Clinton, Iowa from Fulton, Illinois. Timken Drives is a subsidiary of North Canton, Ohio-based Timken. Last week, it was awarded $250,000 in direct financial assistance by the Iowa Economic Development Authority. The project is expected to generate $1.4 million in new capital investments and create up to 84 jobs. Officials say Timken Drives makes agricultural conveyor chains and auger assemblies at the Fulton plant and needed to make room for manufacturing more chains. It is unclear when the company intends to move the auger operations to Clinton, Iowa. Moving on now to state ag news around Illinois. Illinois Farm Bureau President Richard Giebert Jr. testified during Wednesday's U.S. House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee hearing. The hearing was held to discuss U.S.-China trade and competition. In his testimony, Giebert explained the importance of trade to Illinois farmers, the impacts of the trade war, and reasons for optimism.
The jury's still out to see where this all goes and how soon China can come into the marketplace in the United States and live up to the agreements that have been signed and put into effect just a week ago Friday.
In 2016, Illinois farmers exported $2.3 billion worth of soybeans almost exclusively to China. But in the last 4 years, that number has steadily declined, and in 2019, roughly $800 million of soybeans were exported from Illinois. In other state ag news, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is gearing up for countless recreational opportunities throughout the state this upcoming spring. IDNR Director Colleen Callahan says you can find more on the many recreational opportunities in Illinois by visiting the website dnr.illinois.gov.
You know, take a staycation. You don't necessarily have to go out of state to have the kind of experience that you may expect or have had in another state, because from the northern corners to the southern tip, we have nearly 400 state parks, fish and wildlife areas, recreational areas, and historic sites. So you can make it a day trip or you can make it a multi-day trip. If you like camping, you certainly can do that at many of our locations. Either by taking your own camper or renting one of the cabins or campsites that we have. And we've tried to make it easy. You can actually go online, make a reservation through reserveamerica.com.
And again, that was IDNR Director Colleen Callahan. 6:40 here on your Friday morning. Let's take a look at the Ag Community Bulletin Board. The Illinois Extension will be offering a pop-up workshop coming here in March. Developing a pop-up workshop is a low-cost way to start a business while testing product ideas and developing a customer base. Pop-ups can be also a great way for Etsy merchants to take their products offline to grow their revenue and lead customers to their online shop. Even existing brick-and-mortar stores can use them to expand their brand awareness. The pop-up shop workshop is designed to help artists, entrepreneurs, market managers, and community leaders learn more about this business model and how it can impact business development in rural communities as well as urban centers. The instructor, Pam Scalhorn, Extension Specialist in Community and Economic Development, is an authority on the creative economy and has presented on the topic at both state and national levels. Currently, she is working with cities across Illinois interested in developing their own creative economy. The pop-up workshop will be held on Tuesday, March 10th, from 5:30 until 7 at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. There is no charge to attend, but registration is required as they have limited seating. Registration can be completed online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that'll wrap it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any Ag news for us or anything for the Ag Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Friday morning, February 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting. WSMI Ag News.